Welcome to the Dr. Peace Show, Doug Alford. He's the director for the Genesis Consulting Service Group, and I've known Doug for quite a while. But Doug, what is something that most people don't know about you?
Hey, Randy, thanks for having me today. I think a lot of people don't know that I'm a real soccer fanatic. And in fact, I've coached club soccer for over 20 years, and I currently train high school soccer athletes to sharpen their skills to become college soccer athletes.
Yeah, that's actually pretty amazing. I'm kind of impressed with that, Doug. I used to do a little bit of tennis and play tennis quite a bit, but I don't think anyone would come consult with me about how to become a better tennis player today, that's for sure. So, and I know for sure with golf, so that's pretty cool. So we're not talking about soccer today, though. We're talking about COVID-19 and the impact on small business, and it certainly has been impactful. So as you look at it through the lens of a consultant, Doug, and thinking about how it's impacted small business, it hasn't been all bad news. I mean, for some small businesses, it's been horrific. I mean, our restaurants and hospitality industry has been really ravaged. But for a number of small businesses, some of them actually have increased business. Some have pivoted in creative ways. Some have cleaned up stuff. So, like, how have you seen this impact small business has, and is there any kind of stories you can tell us?
Sure. You know, one of the things that's happened to everybody, I think, since March of this year, when COVID first came on the scene, was that nobody had experienced this before. It was an unknown experience for any business owner or any private person. People that were really good at pivoting, and that's a hot buzzword that we're all using, but people that were really good at pivoting early on have actually found some positive things in this experience. I think some restaurants are a great example of when they identified early that their business was going out of seating, of people sitting in the restaurant, and it was turning to takeout. And if they did that and did that early and did that well, it actually has increased at least that part of their business. And that is going to help them substantially as we get into winter here, because that sitting inside business is going to be more and more challenging because of regulations. Also, a lot of businesses have had the chance to sort of stop and look at what they do. And, you know, if you will, they have had a chance to sort of clean up some things like make a better website or look at all their budget items and understand where they're spending money, where they didn't need to spend money, or even look at their staffing and critically and understand where they need staffing or need to change staffing. That's one of the good ways to look at it. Some of the challenging things that have happened to most businesses is that when COVID first came on the scene, no one knew what to do. There was no guidance from the government. There was no, there was just no opportunity for people to get accurate information. And that's because this was a brand new experience for everyone. So communication sort of stopped. The normal flow, at least, of communication stopped. Travel stopped. Face-to-face contact in a lot of cases stopped. Even in an entertaining way, emails even stopped for a while. People just sort of ceased communicating. That created, the biggest problem, which was communication issues. And within a company, communication, the normal flow of communication had to change, had to pivot, if you will. And then from outside of the companies, the normal flow of communication would be, sort of everyday business. All of a sudden it changed to what are government agencies saying? What is the news saying? What are industry groups saying about what's going on? Because everyone was looking for guidance in what to do next.
Yeah, it's certainly challenging times. I know for some, they literally had a day to send their employees home.
Yes.
Or put them on furlough, and like they weren't equipped to work from home. They've been used to working in the office environment. So that was a huge challenge just to get people online. Some parents who have kids and they're doing virtual learning. They're trying to share the internet and share space. And, you know, they're homeschooling their kids all of a sudden, as well as trying to get work done. And it's been certainly challenging for a number of families with kids in school. The other piece, though, that I think has been kind of serendipitous is the idea that people have had a chance to work on their business instead of just in their business. And I mean, the economy was going at a pretty good clip before COVID, and a lot of businesses were doing well, and they were just kind of keeping up for at least a minute, quite a few people. And then all of a sudden with COVID, like you said, Doug, everything kind of just froze. It was amazing. Like those first two weeks were almost like being in suspended animation. It was kind of crazy where no one knew like what the next step was. We didn't know how serious this, you know, the virus really was. We, you know, almost the entire nation was in lockdown. It was kind of crazy that those first few weeks. And so when you have that, everyone's just seized with fear. I mean, fear was so huge, fear of the unknown. And when people have fear, they just freeze up. But as things kind of work through it, businesses who were thriving were learning how to adjust. And those who didn't some of them already have folded, and some of them probably will before the end of this year, sadly.
Yeah, I'm amazed around my office when I go for a walk on nice days, how many empty buildings I'm seeing, and that's growing every day. Yeah. These are people that either didn't pivot well, or they may have been in trouble even before COVID showed up. You brought up the idea of the office changing. I mean, I know a number of stories of people literally on a particular day were driving to work, driving to their office, and got a call or a text that said, go home. And all of a sudden they had to operate from their dining room table with no preparation, you know, with little information. That was really hard. And I'm aware of companies even that then shipped computer equipment and that kind of thing, you know, to people's homes to get their home office going. That on top of kids now being home from school, and you know, spouses or roommates also having to operate from home, that has become very challenging, and that hasn't changed. We're now in the fall, and kids are supposed to be back in school. Most are at home. That continues to be a hard way to work if you have all that in the background.
Yeah, definitely challenging. So we're kind of the conflict masters. I call us the conflict firefighters. We run into that burning building called conflict when everyone else is running out yelling, no, get away from the conflict. It's going to burn you, you know, and we're the ones that, you know, don on our fireproof vests, and we run in there and we douse out the flames, and we help people deal with the conflict. So certainly COVID has caused a certain amount of conflict and chaos within small business, and as well as family businesses. So let's talk a little bit about what we've seen specifically around COVID-19 and how it's affected, you know, like family businesses and small businesses, and that have really kind of nurtured kind of this family atmosphere.
Sure. The small business in general, even if it's not truly a family business, small businesses tend to operate like a family. There's small groups that need to communicate. There are very similar conflicts that arise within a small group or a small company as do within a family. One of the issues that COVID has immediately brought up was this lack of communication, or very difficult communication. Before, we would go to our office, we would have, you know, the water cooler talk, if you will. We could gather down the hall, we could stop by somebody's desk or cubicle, we could have conversations at lunchtime, we could meet for a beer after lunch and have conversations. And all of a sudden, all of that stopped, and it all stopped at once. So that has created a great deal of conflict because there's a lack of communication and there's a lack of clarity in communication. Other things that have happened is if you had plans going, let's say for expanding your business, selling your business, hiring new employees, trimming employees, that kind of thing, that also stopped when COVID came upon us. So That, you know, some people have revisited that, but it's been done very slowly, and it's just harder to do virtually because most of our communication has changed to virtual. One of the other real challenges has been, and we mentioned it earlier, is just getting used to working from home when you have all of your family at home. So in my family, I can think of some of my kids have, you know, two parents working full time at home with children at home, dealing with lack of daycare or little daycare. That's really, really hard. And that creates tension and that creates conflict. So if you're in a business setting, you're getting conflict between employees or employees and management. If you're in a family setting, you're getting conflict between usually parents or spouses. And when you're working at home, you combine all that into one. And it becomes a petri dish for conflict, if you will.
Yeah, an unresolved conflict is difficult, right? It keeps kind of piling on. And certainly I think people have felt that kind of piling on effect with the issues that COVID is arising. I mean, there was enough stress for a lot of families, let alone what COVID has increased that. And when you increase that stress, you increase conflict. And if you can't resolve it, it becomes almost unbearable. So we are those conflict firefighters. We run into that building called conflict and everyone else is running out screaming, "No, no, get me away from this conflict." And most people don't like conflict. They don't want to have any part of it. And so they're running out and we're running in and we douse the flames and we try and de-escalate the issues and create some peace. And that's something we do very, really well, is help create some peace. What's interesting with COVID, though, is part of the anxiety, part of the issue is we don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know when the end is. It's a whole lot easier to resolve a problem and resolve conflict if you know, like, it's kind of done. If we've done it, then we can move on to the next piece, whatever that looks like. With COVID, we're not sure really what that looks like. We're, you know, as we do this podcast right now, the nation is spiking. Our state in Oregon, where we're recording this, has some of its highest cases total that it's ever had since March, and even beyond March, actually. So we don't know what the next step is. We don't know, but it seems like somehow we're adjusting and we're going to figure it out. And together, I hope that we can do it together. So here's what we want to think about is, like, Doug, what are some solutions? What are some things that we can give our listeners that can be helpful, that they can take away as some tips about dealing with the effect of COVID on their small businesses or them as employees?
Randy, there really is two major things that anybody we work with needs to look at, and we help them do that. And that is communication and clarity. So if they're in conflict, we first want to come in and interrupt conflict. Get everybody to stop and start the process of communication. So we work with sort of identifying what are the real causes, what are the root causes of conflicts. And there's a saying that the truth is not always the truth, or the cause is not always the cause. And if you think of an iceberg, a picture of an iceberg, scientists tell us there's about 10% above the waterline, about 90% below the waterline. I love your analogy of running into burning buildings in our work, because that's what we love to do. We also like to dive down and look at the iceberg portion underwater. And that's representing what are the true sources or the root sources of conflict. So first we try to, sort of stop conflict, get everybody to pause, take a deep breath. We want to start to identify what are the real sources of conflicts, because often in conversation, what you're hearing from someone is not the real source, is not the deep root source. And then we want to clarify with the people involved. And this could be, this could be a family business. This could be a board of directors. This could be a farm. This could be a veterinarian. It could be any organization and any combination of work and family together. We want to clarify what everybody really wants. What is the goal? What is the ultimate goal? What do people want out of this conversation and this communication? Very often you will find in working with people in conflict is that they just aren't on the same page. One thinks they know exactly what the conflict is, and the other would tell you something very, very different. So we work to sort of create and identify what are the really root causes of the conflict. And then we want to help the people that are in conflict to start to create some ground rules for communicating. So how are they going to work together toward the same goal on the same conflicts? And there are all kinds of tools to do that. One of the biggest problems that we have going right now in COVID is it's hard to sit down face to face with someone across from a table. There's so much to be learned by body language and looking in people's eyes and seeing how they move and turn their heads. That's really challenging because a lot of our communication in businesses is now done virtually. So we're always looking for, can we take the virtual communication and add a little bit in some way of face-to-face communication? You know, maybe that's sitting outside at a picnic table, socially distance. There are ways to do that. We want to take people through the process of, once we've identified what the real conflicts are, then what are the goals? Where are we trying to go to solve the conflict? How are we trying to solve the issues? And one, very common way, but one way we use a lot is to use a smart grid, which means you take a situation, you look at it. Is it specific? Is it measurable? Is it attainable? Is it relevant? And is it time bound? Meaning, can we put a date or a time on when we can complete working with that subject? So those are real common ways of how we deal with people in communication and organizations in communication. It's interesting that when we deal with, say, two people in conflict, or if we deal with an organization of 20 or 100, the process is pretty much the same, because it's all human beings who are having a difficult time communicating with each other.
Yeah, those are great tips. And I just kind of want to remind our listeners too of the seven principles of peace too, because these are just simple things that not only work in our individual lives, but you can apply them into the business world as well. And the first thing you do is you just work on your own personal peace, right? You're not going to help other people if you aren't dealing well with your own peace, right? So I tell people all the time, get your peace together, focus on that. And that's a pretty big challenge in today's world with trying to find space in your home that you might need to work and plan and either lead your company or be a part of your company or just be an employee, whatever it might be. Then your kids are sitting right next to you and they're trying to do online work and they're not communicating well. So it's certainly challenging. So getting your own peace together is certainly a challenge in today's world. And then to talk to people instead of about them and or at them. And so it's really easy to do with the virtual. It's like, it's so easy to misunderstand each other. And you don't have that chance, like you were talking about, Doug, to go down to the water cooler and have that brief conversation to clear up a misunderstanding. That's a lot harder. And because people's technology sometimes isn't working, they can't even get on a video call some businesses have actually increased their business quite a bit during COVID. And so businesses are actually slammed. And so they're really busy trying to get their work done and trying to communicate well with each other and not go sideways. So that's been a really challenge. And then just when you think about listening, I will seek to understand before being understood, really focusing on you're more important than I am. In other words, I'm not going to be thinking in my mind how I want to respond to you. I want to really make sure I'm listening and understanding what it is that you're trying to communicate with me and what your problem is so that we can solve it together, not a me versus you kind of a thing. And then I'm going to actually create peace in my words and actions. I'm not going to do things to escalate the conflict. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to instead choose. I'm going to make a choice to de-escalate by the whatever words I respond to or actions you see me do. And then I'm just going to believe the best in others instead of thinking about the worst, right? I'm going to believe the best that you had good intentions at the beginning of this whole thing, and somehow they went sideways. And if necessary, if I need to forgive, that we forgive, right? We move on. We can learn to continue to have a good professional relationship, and I can forgive this, chalk it up to COVID, you know, COVID brain, whatever that might be, and think about how to move forward. So those are hopefully some takeaways for you folks. And thanks, Doug, so much for being a guest on the show. Is there one big takeaway that you could leave our listeners with? If anything else, this would be the one thing that you'd love them to take home.
Absolutely. What you were just describing is something I'd advise people to put in writing for their whole organization and call it a code of conduct. But the last point of being forgiveful with people, I like to use the words, just give each other some slack. Mm-hmm. And if there's a takeaway in today's world because of COVID and because of the pressure that is caused by working in this world right now in a business or in a family or in a family business, is just give each other some slack, pause a little bit, and it'll be okay. It'll mm-hmm. be okay. If you need help, seek professional help from somebody who does that kind of work, but give each other some extra slack, if you will.
So Doug, we're working on some great courses around COVID, and I'm doing one called COVID and Conflict, kind of the base course. We're going to have the two that you'll be working on is COVID and Family Business, the unique elements of the family and how that deals with the business element as well as the family element and how COVID has impacted both of those within family business. And then some things we touched on today is, COVID and your workplace team and how it's been affected your workplace team and how that communication's been more challenging and some ways to try and address those things. We're also doing a couple courses on COVID and co-parenting for those of you who are divorced and dealing with co-parenting pieces. This has been challenging for you, and COVID and your aging parents, and for they're the most vulnerable, and it's been a really difficult time for those with aging parents to deal with this coronavirus. So those are courses that we're developing that will be released very soon. You'll be hearing more about them in the upcoming weeks, and we hope that they will be very helpful for you and that you can pass those along to others, and it will be helpful communication, helpful tips about how to deal with our COVID world as it stands right now. Thanks, Doug, for being a guest on the show, and look forward to having you again sometime.
Great. Thanks, Randy.